Good morning, Grace Bible Church. This is week four of Church Online All the Time for our family. It is the end of week three of social distancing, and the key word that we are talking about over these last few weeks is this idea right here, sheltering at home. So thank you for sheltering in place. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing what you can do to flatten the curve. We have to continue to lean in, and this is the time, at least for me, where every once in a while I wake up and I think, are we still really doing this? And I just have to double down in my mind. And so I just want to say thank you. Thank you for continuing to take this seriously. Thank you for continuing to do what we can do. You know, we can only do what we can do. And so I appreciate that. I know, again, it was sort of another difficult week for many of us. 2 weeks ago, we got the word that school was going to be canceled till the end of the year. And then this past week, we got word that this is going to be extended through June 10th. And we really don't know when the end exactly will be, but another target of June 10th, pushing everything out a little bit farther. And for me, I don't remember when the governor's word came out about June 10th, but it wasn't that day. It was waking up the next day. I was waking up the next day and just feeling like, ugh. So I just want to encourage you, if you feel like, sometime, maybe a lot of the time, you're not alone, and that is pretty normal. We were talking to our elder meeting this week, and Matt Breitenberg, my co-lead pastor, our executive pastor, he just mentioned that he was feeling tired, and I was like, oh, I've been feeling tired too. He's like, yeah, and you guys are going, I'm tired too. This is stress, takes more mental energy, so we get it, and we are with you in this, and I was thinking about, you know, whether it's that discouragement or maybe you're a medical professional and you're going to the front line every day and you just keep going back and keep going back and you are putting yourself genuinely in harm's way. Thank you. Thank you for that. And I can't imagine the stress that that creates in your life. Or we just know that so many people in our community, our country, our world have been really, really devastated financially. Maybe you have been one of the people who've lost your job. And so you're thinking, shelter in place, that's no big deal. I just want to, like, I got to continue to work. And if that's the stress, the strain that you feel, our hearts are with you. We want to help you as well. There's a place on our website where you can sign up. If you have a need, we'd love to help you with that. But as we think about all of that, just general discouragement, healthcare workers, first responders, financial crisis. Let me ask you this question right here. Here's the question. What do you need right now? What is your felt need right now? It's interesting, there are so many different things that we could say that we need. Some of us might say, I need peace. I just feel anxious all the time, and I need peace. Maybe for you, it is that financial resource. Maybe for you, it is, where's the next paycheck coming from? Maybe for you, there's so much stress with the people you live with. Maybe things were already difficult with the people you live with, and now that you're together all the time, that has just ramped up. And you're thinking, I just got to figure out how to get along with these people. There's so many different things that we need. So we were talking about this week. We do a meeting a couple times a week. We just call it a kitchen cabinet. We pull together 10 or 12 department heads. And we meet at 9 o'clock a couple days a week. And we just sort of check in with how the church is going. And we were talking about this week. And Matt Breitenberg asked the question. He said, how are we doing communicating to our church what's really going on, what's really most important? And it was a good question, because in a time like this, communication is so, so important. And then a little bit later, our communications director was sharing about a webinar that she had been on. And this webinar was talking about the fact that we need to be aware in this season that we don't just carry on as business with business as usual. And out of this, as we continue to have conversations, what rose to the surface is that what we all need in this time, what we all really need in this time amidst all of our needs is hope. What we all really need is hope. And so we want to sort of pivot our message as a church in this season. And we want to sort of expand on this idea of being for the 757. We talked about that for over a year now. For too long, the church has been known for what it's against. We want to be known for what we're for. That is still true, but we want to pivot that in this time. And we feel like God has put it on our heart that really what we want to say in the midst of COVID-19 to Hampton Roads is this. We want to say that we are about hope for the 757. We are about hope for the 757. And we want this to be our rallying cry. We want hope for the 757 to be our rallying cry. We want it to be the banner that we pray over our community. We want this to be the thing that we lean into, that we genuinely believe there is hope to be found even in the midst of difficult times. And we believe that the Church of Jesus Christ is uniquely positioned to offer hope to people who need it. To offer hope to people who need it. Now, this is an explicitly Christian hope that we have to offer. This is not the hope that things will get back to normal, though we think they will. This is not the hope that the stock market will recover, though we think it will. This is not the hope that one day the economy will grow, people will have jobs, we'll be able to go and work and play and gather, though we believe all of that will happen. Our hope is deeper and bigger and stronger and more sure than that. Because you know already, in the most difficult seasons of life, whatever those seasons have been for you, in the most difficult seasons of life, what you and I need is hope, not that things will get back to normal. But we need this kind of a hope, and this is the kind of hope we're talking about. Hope to look forward to look forward expectantly for God's future activity. That's the hope we're talking about. Not back to normal, but that in the future, God is at work. To look forward expectantly for God's future activity. Now, capture this idea of God's future activity. That's not just weeks or months. That's like the future is a minute from now, an hour from now, a day from now. But in the future, God is at work. That is our hope. That is our hope. And so we want to look forward expectantly that even in the midst of the most difficult times, God is at work. We have hope. And so what I want to talk about today, and today really I want to set up the things we're going to be talking about in the weeks to come. I want to tell us where we can find this hope and try to outline it for us. And this isn't the message that I had planned for today. We planned sermons weeks in advance, but after our meetings on Wednesday, I just felt on Thursday as I was praying about it, I felt like he wanted me to give you a fresh message about hope for the 757. And so today, here's where we're going. I want to give you three things to know about where we find our hope. I want to give you two things to do, and that's all under one rallying cry of hope for the 757. So hope for the 757, I want to give you three things to know, two things to do. Here's the first thing I want you to know, three things to know. Number one, God is with us. You might feel alone, but you're not alone. God is with us. He is with us today, and we never have to wonder that God is with us. We never have to wonder if God is with us. It is the story of the scriptures from the beginning in the garden when Adam and Eve were created and God was with Adam and Eve walking in the cool of the garden. Even though sin entered the world, God continued to be with people all the way through to the end when we will be together again in the new heavens and the new earth and God will be with us and there will be no barrier of sin between us and the presence of God. This is the story of the scriptures, God with us. And there are just a few places where he makes this incredibly explicit to us. The kind of verses in the Bible that we can grab onto, that we can hold onto, that remind us so clearly that he's with us. There are a couple, especially in the Old Testament, right around Deuteronomy. So in the Old Testament, the Bible begins like this. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's God creating the world, establishing Israel as a family group, and then Israel goes into slavery in Egypt for 400 years. And you know the story, they're in slavery for 400 years. God sends Moses, he delivers the people out of slavery. They end up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, 400 years of slavery, 40 years of wilderness wandering. And then at the end of the wandering in the wilderness, the people of Israel are preparing to go into the land that God had promised them. But as they are preparing to go into the land, this is an incredibly scary time for them. See, they are just a large nomadic family unit. They have no warriors, they have no military training, they've never done much of anything except be slaves and then desert wanderers. And so at the end of Deuteronomy, as they're getting ready to go into the promised land, and then the next book in the Old Testament is Joshua, which is how they enter the promised land. At the end, God has some things to say to his people right as they're going. And I just want to show you this one verse that highlights what God wanted to say to his people as they were in an incredibly difficult and stressful time. Here's what God wanted to say. As they're getting ready to go into the promised land, be strong and courageous. That's good advice for us today. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For you are really, really awesome. And you can do it. And it's in you. Just believe in yourself. God never says that to anyone ever. He never says that. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The reason that we can have hope for the 757 in the midst of COVID-19, the reason you can have hope is that God is with you. And I want you to know this. And the reason we need to know this is we don't feel it all the time. We get scared. We feel alone. We're distressed. But in the midst of that, know that God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And we know that this is not just a promise for the Old Testament. We know this is not just to the people of Israel. And the reason we know this is not just to the people of Israel is because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. Now, you may have heard around Christmas time, as we remember the birth of Jesus, we often talk about Jesus as Emmanuel. I don't know if you're familiar with that word, the word Emmanuel, but it's a very important word in describing Jesus. And it's a very hope-fueled word. And in the New Testament, it really just shows up in one key place around the birth of Jesus. It's in Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, we read, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son,' speaking of Jesus, 'and they will call him Emmanuel,'" which means God with us. Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God is with us, and you don't have to wonder because of Jesus. In your worst moment, in your darkest sin, in the midst of being sheltered at home, whatever you say to people, you do all of the regret, none of that ever changes that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He is with us. I was talking about this passage in December, and I told this story, and I'm going to retell it because it just, to me, was so personally meaningful, and I think captures this idea. And I was struck some time ago. I was thinking even it was earlier in the fall, maybe even the end of the summer. I was driving home. I have five kids, and in the fall, you know, I have four bigger kids. One's in college, and four bigger kids, and then I have one smaller child. Shout out to Sarah Joy. She'll be watching this in a little bit today. And in the fall, I remember that when I would come home from work, many, many days, Sarah Joy would run out of the house and she would come up to the car door and she would greet me when I got home. And she would knock on the door and she would either open the door or I'd roll down the window and, you know, and she was just so glad to see me. And as I thought about that, I thought what a beautiful picture that is of the way our Heavenly Father thinks about us. But see, usually in these stories, I play the role of Heavenly Father because I am her earthly father. But in this story, that's not the case. In this story, Sarah Joy is playing the role of Heavenly Father. Because your Heavenly Father is so excited to see you if you would just turn to him and roll down the window. If you would just turn to him and open the door of your life. He has already run to you in Christ to be with you. And as we are sheltering in place, you don't have to wonder if God is there. He's already there. He's just waiting for us to turn and look up to him. God is with us. Second thing I want you to know is this. Second thing to know. Not only is God, that God is with us, but secondly, God is for us. This is so important. Because if God is with us, but he doesn't like us, that's bad news. There's no hope in that. Now, I know most of us take for granted that God is for us, but we shouldn't. We should know specifically how God is for us. If we are going to really believe that we have hope for the 757, we need to know how God is for us, how God is for the 757. Now again, it comes back to Jesus. It comes back to Jesus. Earlier, Kurt quoted from the letter we call Hebrews. We don't know who wrote Hebrews, but it was written to some early Jewish Christians. And I also want to share with you a verse from Hebrews about Jesus. This is from Hebrews chapter 4. It shows us that God is for us. I want you to stay with me. It'll make sense. He says this, "For we do not have a high priest who was unable to empathize with our weaknesses." Now, high priest, who is that? That's Jesus. Speaking of Jesus, our great and final high priest. It's one of Jesus' roles, that the priest represents the people to God, and Jesus now represents us to God. But Jesus can empathize with us. "We have one who has been tempted in every way." So Jesus, our high priest, represents us to God, experienced temptation. We talked about that a few weeks ago at the beginning of Jesus Reconstructed, the fact that Jesus experienced temptation. Jesus was tempted, yet, here's the unique thing about Jesus, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So Jesus, tempted as we are, yet did not sin. Now think for a moment about the people you know in your life, the people you know who tend to do things better than you. And you tend to mess up, and they tend to do them better. Don't those people tend to sometimes be a little smug? Don't those people sometimes tend to look down on people who can't quite get it right? Jesus was tempted and he did not sin. So how is he going to respond to you in all of your brokenness, in your weakness, in your failure? How is he going to respond to me in my discouragement, in my lack of faith, in my questions? The very next verse tells us how Jesus responds to us every single time. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with us. So let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. When you have need and you come to your heavenly Father every single time because of who Jesus is, you get mercy and grace. I don't know about you, but that fills me with hope. That fills me with hope. Because sometimes I look at myself and I think, God, aren't you getting tired of me being so needy? God, don't you just want me to believe and trust? God, aren't you just sort of sick of my unbelief? I keep wrestling with the same things over and over and over. No, he's not. Every time you come to your heavenly Father with need, because you have a great and faithful high priest, you will receive mercy and you will find grace. And I'm telling you, in the 757 today, people need to know that the Church of Jesus Christ is founded on mercy and grace to people who need it. Your Heavenly Father never comes at you with shame or condemnation or anger or judgment. The only prerequisite he has is that you recognize your need. It's the great irony of the gospel. It's the upside-down kingdom nature of the gospel. The only prerequisite to receive mercy and grace is to know that you have need. I got to practice this this past week, actually. I got to practice walking in this hope that God is with us. So this is week 4 of church online all the time. 3 weeks I've been sheltering in place. And so that first week of sheltering in place, that first week following the online all the time, I was very anxious. I had a lot of anxiety that week. And it was the kind of anxiety that was so all-consuming. I didn't even feel anxious. But in hindsight, I was. And what I learned in that week is that leadership through anxiety is actually not an effective style of leadership. I wondered if maybe I'd stumbled upon something new, like leadership through anxiety, and this was going to be my big book to write coming out of COVID-19, how to lead while being anxious. So it turns out that doesn't work. So even though I was anxious, you know, I still had some good ideas and came across some good ideas, but it turns out that a good idea poorly executed, full of anxiety, doesn't feel like a good idea to the person you're asking to do it. So I had this idea I got from another pastor about us reaching out personally by making phone calls as a staff. And so in my anxiety, I said to our whole staff, everybody needs to make 5 phone calls a day. Now, I used a lot more words than that, but because of my anxious presence, that's basically what they heard. Well, turns out when everyone's feeling overwhelmed, when you're the boss and you put your anxiety and extra work on your staff, it doesn't go well. Huh. Who knew? Well, now I know. Save me writing that book. So this past Tuesday, we had an all-staff meeting, and you know, there were like 48 of us on a Zoom call, and it was a great time to be together and see everybody's little face as everybody's at home. And I needed to say to our staff, hey, I'm sorry for leading out of my anxiety a couple of weeks ago. I needed to own that. And let me tell you why I could own that. It's not because I'm great. It's not because, you know, here's why I can own that. Because I genuinely believe that when I have need, I get mercy and grace. I just pre-assume that I'm going to get mercy and grace because Jesus has offered me so much mercy and so much grace. And I want that for you because that's hope. That's what our community needs. That's what the 757 needs. We need to find and be people who, when things are going really bad, don't come with shame and judgment, should have, could have. No. You acknowledge you have need? I have mercy and grace because Jesus has mercy and grace for you. That's how we find hope for the 757. Number one, God is with us. Number two, God is for us. But number three, God is sending us. God is sending us. This is how we're going to live and experience hope together in the days to come. God is sending us. Now, I want to share with you, under the umbrella of God is sending us, a passage that is fairly well known from the Old Testament. It's a little prophet, and this prophet isn't known for much except this one verse. And in the prophet Micah, chapter 6, verse 8, Micah describes for us how it is that the kingdom of God is coming through his people. And I think it's a great picture of how we are to live and how God is sending us into the 757 in this time. Look at what Micah 6:8 says. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is how we are sent into the 757. To act justly, where there is a chance to bring justice to the world, we work for justice. Where there's a chance to love mercy and have mercy for people in need, hungry people, financially broken people, tired people, we come with mercy. And then we walk humbly with our God. That is how God is sending us into the 757. Hope for the 757 is that God is with us, God is for us, and God is sending us. Now, it can be tough to know exactly what it means that God is sending us. But I received an email a week or two ago reminding me that when the great reformer, Martin Luther, and I don't know if you're familiar with Martin Luther. Martin Luther lived about 500 years ago, and he was a German reformer, and he helped to bring the message of the gospel back to the church, a greater emphasis on the word of God and on the grace of God. Luther was an incredible giant. Look up his Wikipedia page, Google Martin Luther, you'll find all sorts of great stuff. Well, Martin Luther, the great spiritual leader, actually lived through one of the worst pandemics in the history of the world. Martin Luther was alive during the time of the bubonic plague. Martin Luther was doing shelter in place before we'd ever even heard of what shelter in place was. And he has a powerful quote a powerful quote about how he thought about his responsibility as he reflected on the fact that God was with him, for him, and what it meant for God to be sending him. And I want to share with you Martin Luther's reflection on sheltering in place. Here's what Luther says. He says, "Therefore, I shall ask God mercifully to protect us." That's a good place to start. "Then I shall fumigate, help purify the air, administer medicine, and take it." So we're going to use all the science we can get. He continues, "I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed in order not to become contaminated and thus perchance infect and pollute others and so cause their death as a result of my negligence." Shelter at home, shelter in place. That's what he's saying. But he continues. He says, "If God should wish to take me, he will surely find me. And I have done what he has expected of me, and so I am not responsible for either my own death or the death of others." He's very sober about how this goes. But then, how is God sending us? He says, "If my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but will go freely." My neighbor. Jesus said, "Love your neighbor," as stated above. See, this is such a God-fearing faith because it is neither brash nor foolhardy and does not tempt God. See, there are going to be opportunities, places where God is sending us, not to fulfill our own needs, not our own desires, but as we seek to show mercy, people in need. Christians have always been the people in every plague who, for the sake of caring for others, were willing to risk their own life, not in a foolish or foolhardy way. But think about the healthcare professionals who day after day after day, think about places that have been overrun, like New York and Seattle. God is sending them. And we don't know how God is sending us. But here's the amazing thing. Here's the amazing thing. Part of finding hope for the 757 is believing that God is sending us. That God is sending us to be messengers of hope. So hungry people are going to have food because you gave it to them, providing hope. And people are going to have masks because you gave them to them. And elderly people are going to be encouraged because you did that in blood. All the things and all the things we're doing in our neighborhoods and our own lives, God is sending us as a part of being hope for the 757. Three things to know under the banner. Keep these with you. God is with us. He is for us. He is sending us. This is a foundational hope. Two things to do. Here you go. Two things to do. Number one, you got to find your own hope. You have to find hope. You cannot be content to just live on a sermon a week. I'm so glad you're watching online and participating with us. We've got a Good Friday service coming up this Friday. Grab your family, Zoom call, figure out how to do that with other people. I don't know how you're going to do it, but join us for Good Friday. We need these times together, but you have got to be finding hope in addition to this time. We have to personally get with God. It's been so interesting to hear different people talk about this. I was talking with the guys from my step study on Thursday, and a couple of them were saying that in this season, they have had more time to spend with God. They're not done with they're done with travel. They don't have kids' activities, and they have been finding a richer time reading and praying, extra time with the Lord. So inspiring. Talked with another good friend. He said, "Man, it is so hard to pray right now. We're all over the place." That's okay, but pursue finding hope in God. Now, if this is new for you, I want to help. This is our homepage at gracebible.church. If you go to gracebible.church, you click on Get Involved, and you scroll down to Pray and Read the Bible. There are all the resources there you could ever need to pray and read the Bible. Let me encourage you to do that if you're not sure what to do. Another great resource, I'll just show it to you. It's right here. New Morning Mercies. Arguably the best devotional book that has been written in the past many years. This is hope-filled fuel for your soul. New Morning Mercies. Order it on Amazon. If you have a smartphone, you can get the Kindle app for free and probably buy it for $8 or something. I don't know. Let me encourage you. The other thing we got to do is find community. We got to be on Google Hangouts or Google Meets or Zoom or whatever. We have to be in community. So if you have community, be proactive. Initiate Zoom calls. Connect with people on the deeper spiritual level about what's really going. If you don't have anybody to have spiritual conversations with, here's how we want to help on the website. Again, this is just the homepage. Go a little lower. Connect with us. Click on that link. It'll open up a little form. Fill it out. We want to help you to connect. Connect with us. This is how together we are going to find hope. Please don't waste this time. Please figure out how to carve space in your life to allow God to minister to you. You're not going to make it with hope. You're not going to have hope to share. You're not going to have hope for the 757 if you're not finding hope yourself. Two things to do. Number one, find hope. Number two, share hope. To share hope. Now, in addition to all the ways that God might lead you to share hope, I just want to show you one other place on the website because it's a place you can share hope. So we pull up the website here. Sorry, I think there's one more website picture. I probably went out of order. Here we go. Okay, have a need. No, meet a need. Have a need, meet a need. I don't know. They're both here. If you have a need, you can fill out have a need. If you want to meet a need, if you want to share hope, if you want to share hope, click on meet a need right there, and you will see all the ways that we are meeting needs in the 757. Meet a need. That's how you can share hope. Hope for the 757. Here we go. Number one, God is with us. Number two, God is for us. Number three, God is sending us. He is sending us. Now, we would love for you to use this hashtag and share with us how you are finding hope. As you are finding hope, we would love for you to use this hashtag and record a 20-second selfie video. Hey, I read this morning in this verse and it really encouraged me. I'm finding hope. And let's communicate on social media like that. Share these with us so we can encourage each other. Hey, I had this conversation. I was really able to find hope. Use the hashtag. Hey, I was able to share hope. Give us new ideas. Let's communicate like this. Because in the midst of COVID-19, we have hope to share. Because we know these things. And we can find hope in Jesus. We have hope for the 757. I want you to imagine a month after this is over, whenever that is, a month after this is over, as you look back on how you handled COVID-19, what do you want to be known for? What do we want to be known for when this is over? I want to be known as a church that offered hope to the 757. Real hope, solid hope, Christ-centered hope, practical hope. And imagine if we take the time to lean into what God is doing and we're able to experience and share that hope together. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to have a closing song. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would give us hope. Help us to believe these things that have always been true, that you are with us and for us and sending us. It's not new, but we need to double down on where hope can be found. Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would inspire us from within by your Holy Spirit, that we could be people who every day are finding hope in you. Help us to find our hope in you. And then as we find hope, can we share it personally, social media, whatever, God. But I pray that this message of hope for the 757 will be a banner that brings you honor and glory, and that people will see that you are the God who loves us. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. The band has one more song to share with us today before you go.